It's my great joy to invite you to open your copy of God's perfect, precious word this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29. As you do so, our kids are invited, the kindergarten through third ones that are going to be a part of the optional kids time. They can gather with leaders at the back. But as they do so, the beginning of our time together today, I encourage our kids to sing. But now I want to say something else. I was just coming off of that song. Our kids hear different noises and sounds throughout the week. We have, especially with devices and all, there's all kinds of sounds that they can hear. But church family, I cannot think of a more beautiful sound than for them to hear their church family singing. Such a transformational thing. And I hope as you sing together that you think about that. Think about the little ones hearing your voice mixing with everybody else all about the Lord Jesus. Well, we are coming to Deuteronomy 29. And today I want to speak to you about the gift of the revealed things. And this pairs so well with where we are in Romans 12. So I want to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's perfect word. And as you do so, stand knowing that in the Bible and the Bible alone, we hear the true story of the world. But before I read this verse for us, I want to read or say for you once more Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, which we got just 2 weeks ago. I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies holy and living sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test to prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your perfect word. We ask you, Lord, even as we open your word here, your assembled people, to open our hearts to your word. Help us to receive your truth. Shape us. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This week, I was in our nursery area doing some things, and I saw a card I never noticed before, a little card someone had in there, just a bit of humor. A bit of humor about how a toddler thinks about what is his or hers. This is what it says. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it is mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and you put it down just for a second, it automatically becomes mine. Well, that's just a bit of humor, but isn't it so true? Isn't that how toddlers operate? Hopefully, no, you're not still like that. Hopefully we aren't like that, but we do have the joy of rightly being able to say in some ways with a heart of gratitude about some things that they are ours. They belong to us, whether we've purchased or made them, bought them or built them, with a heart knowing that that ultimately everything is from God. with gratitude, we say things like, yeah, this belongs to me. This is mine. It's not a selfish thing. It's a joyous thing that God has allowed us to have them. There are things that are given to us by others. And when we think about these things, they're extra special. Maybe not just in and of what they are, but we think about the person who gave them to us. On this Mother's Day, you might think of something precious to you because your mom gave it to you. But you recognize ultimately, everything good in our life is given to us by the Lord. We are ultimately stewards of things. But yet, in His providence, He has allowed them to come into our possession, and we use the words my about them. Now, we also use the word like my or mine or belonging to us about things that aren't things that we possess in that way, but about relationships. My friends, I say differently than I say my coffee. My coffee is because I'm about to slurp it down, I believe. But my friends, thank you, God. They care for me. I care for them. There's a relationship. It's not possession. It's affection. Or perhaps more clear for this day, my mother, my mom. That possessive word. I can still say, yeah, these are the people, in a sense, that belong to us and we to them. There's a sense of belonging. And just like the item that we have, we recognize is ultimately from the Lord, we recognize that these relationships are ultimately from the Lord. Well, today's text, our verse in Deuteronomy, speaks of things that belong to us. And we must recognize those things as well. They're from the Lord. Now, there's a reason why I thought of this text today and how it connects with Romans 12. There's multiple reasons. One of those is to use the NIV translation, Romans 12, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. Here we are, we're at the end of Deuteronomy 29. It's near the very end of the book. This is the last days, last speeches of Moses here. And as he's speaking, he's actually about to say, I am 100, and just like about a chapter later, he says, I'm 120 years old today. So picture the age of Moses. But this is not just at the end of Deuteronomy. This is at the end of the Torah, the five books. This is how things draw to an end there. And it's taking place. Moses is speaking to the children of the parents who were rescued out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt, whether they were more like a high school senior at the time or whether they were more like a preschooler at the time of the Exodus. And then there's a whole bunch of them who were born in the wilderness. Their entire life has been there on the journey to the promised land. That's the audience. In the whole audience, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, and all of those can look and think back on the mercies of God. He's speaking in view of God's mercies. Back when they were, when the parents were suffering and groaning under the slavery in Egypt, what did God do? There's one verse that lists four things God did way back at the beginning of Exodus. It says, when God heard their groaning and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, God saw the people of Israel and God knew. There's some mercies there. God heard. God remembered. God saw and God knew. And what did he do? He responded. He took action. He called Moses and sent his servant Moses. He confronted the enemy that had them under his power. And he overpowered and conquered with his strong arm. He freed them. He rescued them. He released them from the captivity of slavery. And he led them through the waters to freedom. He saved them. And as he did so, he led them. He provided for them in a time in life where there was no farming. They could not farm. They were in the wilderness. They didn't have to worry. The Bible even tells us their shoes on their feet did not wear out. God provided for them. I want you to think especially of those who were born along the way. Their entire life, they have been nourished. Whether their mom was nourished at first as they were nursing, and then as soon as they had solid food, they were nourished by the manna. Miraculously provided to them each and every day with a double portion the day before the Sabbath. That's their life. Their entire life, they've been able to look up and see a pillar of fire at night or a pillar of cloud by day as God showed that he was with them in a physical manifestation. I am with you all. Day by day. That's the context. That's their life. When they look back, they can see the mercies of God. They'd be slaves otherwise. They'd be dead otherwise. They would have died of hunger or died of thirst. But they're alive. And they're doing well. And they're on the verge of the promised land. That's the backdrop behind this verse. And I want to remind you, all of you in Christ, as you're hearing this, that's a backdrop for you. I didn't say everything that God had done for them, all of that we could say was done despite them. Despite, it wasn't because they were righteous and amazing and just examples of moral uprightness, those children of Israel. It's not why God did it. It was just his mercy. In view of God's mercy. And that's your story. All of you in Christ, this is your story as well. What has God done for you? Well, God heard. God remembered his promises, his covenant. He saw that we were like sheep without a shepherd. He knew when we didn't know our needs. We did not know what we needed. He knew. And he sent his servant. He sent his son. And he overpowered that which had us in its grips. The enemy, he overpowered, he conquered, he delivered, he saved with mighty acts. Oh yeah, the mighty acts they saw were things like the plagues. The mighty acts I can talk about include a resurrection. He overpowered the grave, and he led, and he provided. And everything we talk about every single Sunday, hear everything I say from the pulpit, and every time we open the Bible, it's all in view of God's mercy. That's who he is. And not because we were deserving and amazing and just an example of the most beautiful creature, but because he's that great. He's that merciful. How easy it is to forget the amount of mercy we've experienced, is it not? Just to to think, oh yeah, there's mercy, but to forget the amount of mercy. Let's be people who remember His mercies and speak and think about life in view of God's mercy. Our passage here says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Secret things, revealed things. What is he talking about? What are the revealed things? We'll start with that. What are the revealed things? Well, it's the things that he has done and the words he has spoken. It's what he has spoken. It is what he has done. We had a verse read by Jared at our offertory time there about how God revealed himself by his son. If they had revealed things back then, if Moses is able to speak to the people about the revealed things that belong to us, you have more revealed things. Because from then till now, we have the rest of the Bible that's been revealed to us. In fact, there's things given to us, revealed for us, that the Bible uses the word mystery over. Look at Ephesians. Look at Romans. We've seen this recently even. Mystery. And it's not a mystery in the sense of, oh, you can't figure it out now. It's a mystery in the sense that it was hidden, but now it's been revealed. He sent his son. That's one of the God has spoken to us in the son. In the former days, through prophets and many other things, but now he's spoken to us through his son, but also the mystery of the church. The mystery of how the promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob have developed, how they've come full, how they've come true, how God has been faithful to those, has been faithful in building a people, and how God includes people who aren't the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Gentiles, and how out of all the nations, God is building, as Ephesians says, one new man, a bride of Christ. In fact, Ephesians goes there when it talks about husbands and wives, and it talks about Christ and the church, that mystery, that glorious mystery, which could all be described in a word I already spoke about earlier in this service, a girl's name, grace. The display of God's grace through the nations coming to discover Jesus Christ, those are included in the revealed things. And these are the revealed things. I love being in a college town with students who come here to study all sorts of different fields, professors who have different areas of expertise. And within our church family, we have people whose careers are just diverse. People in the medical field, attorneys, farming, all kinds of different fields, different areas of study. I'm thinking about, just to use an example, microbiology, just all the different interesting things we can learn. You might have a slide under a microscope, and you could see, and I saw recently, just in the mix of the video stuff out there, an amoeba encircling a paramecium. Fascinating. Things we can't see without a microscope, but we can look at it. We can analyze it. And as people who were put by God in creation, have dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the seas and all the living creatures, that includes paramecium. That's probably not the plural. It makes sense that we would explore and develop and research and learn and examine and delve into the natural creation. Or we could think the other way. Think about the most powerful microscope seeing nebulas far away and how we can explore that, how there's a sense of the glory of what God has made mankind to be in our exploration, our interest, our fascination to be able to explore these things. But of all the fields, biology, geology, the one that sounds the strangest when you really think about the roots of the word is theology. break it down. It's the study of God. The study of God? Okay, microbiology. It's on the slide. I'm looking at it. You can't put God in your microscope. You can't see God at the end of a telescope. He's not part of natural creation. How are you going to study Him? Doesn't that sound very arrogant? I'm going to study God? How are you going to? How are you going to know anything about Him? The answer is revealed things. Revealed things. What could we know? I mean, yes, you can see at creation. You can see evidence of His divine power, as it says in Romans. Yeah, but the specifics, you're going to find out because He spoke. I should have listed that as well. I was listing all the things that God has done. He delivered. He saved. He rescued. He led. He provided. He protected. And He spoke. Such a blessing. Moses can look back and remember, people can remember Sinai. The Lord speaking to Moses on the mountain. And God gave physical manifestations that day of what was going on. Thunder and smoke and darkness. But He was speaking. And Moses, He continued to speak to Moses and through Moses to the people. So God has revealed to them the law. God has revealed to them the revealed things. Well, if those are the revealed things, what are the secret things? What are the secret things? They are the things which God hasn't revealed. He knows them, but He hasn't given us access to them. The Scripture says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us. It's an important principle for us to remember how often it is that we can stress over the secret things. We can think, but what's going to happen? What's next year going to be like? What about 5 years down the road? If I do this, what's going to happen down the road? What does the future hold? And we can stress out over that. But I want to remind you that Abraham, when God told him to go from his land, he didn't get all the details. God did not tell him what was going to happen. He just gave him the instructions to go. When God said to him, go to the mountain with your son for the sacrifice, God did not give him the details of what was going to happen. Here's the play-by-play of what this is going to happen. Now go. He was just given the instructions. Ruth and Naomi did not know what was going to happen when they came back to the land from the land of Moab. The disciples did not know what was going to happen when they left their nets to follow Him. In fact, 100% of the people throughout the pages of the Scripture were not given knowledge of the future beyond limited prophecies and abundant promises. But not details. So don't stress that you don't know what's going to happen. Don't expect to know what's going to happen. Trust Him and lean in on the revealed things. We can stress out because we don't know why something is happening. God, I don't know why You would allow this to happen. I've asked that question. I imagine most of you have asked that question. Or even the opposite question. God, I don't know why You haven't had this happen. I don't know why this hasn't happened. We wish we could see the big picture. To see how it all fits together, to be able to make sense of the world and life and the way life is played out, have access to that. I want to remind you that Job did not know why things were happening that happened to him, and he never heard the answer. But it was enough for him that he did learn that God saw, that He knows, that He cares. So don't stress out when you don't see the big picture. Trust Him who does, and lean in on the revealed things. Romans 12:2, this connects with Romans 12:2. It says that by testing, by discerning, you may know what the will of God is. Don't be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. And what some people do with that verse is they think, oh, if I'm not conformed to the world, if I'm transformed by the renewal of my mind, that somehow I'm going to be able to mystically know from God the secret things. God's going to reveal to me somehow the secret things of perhaps the future or specifics of my life, what I should do. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, be transformed by the renewal of your mind by His revealed things. Lean in on the revealed things, so that by discerning you may know what the revealed will of God is. What life that matches His revealed desires is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So don't worry about the secret things, but lean in on the revealed things. The revealed things, the verse says, are belong to us and to our children. Now, when it says the secret things belong to the Lord, our God, which, by the way, that's the Redeemer name of God, Yahweh, the rescuer name, the one who is, who doesn't need to be explained, the one who always has been, the Lord our God. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the revealed things belong to us. It's not saying, okay, God, these are us, not yours. Those are yours, not ours. No, the revealed things belong to Him every bit as much as the secret things do. The difference is on our side. We don't have the secret things, but He has given the revealed things. They are yours. They are yours because they are given to you. The revealed things belong to you, church. As we've had some things that happen in Lexington from time to time this last year, I tried to encourage you all that if you go to Lexington and you walk in that building is your building. It may not have clicked with you yet, but I'm trying to help you see the realities of adoption. When a child is adopted, that house that his parents have, that's his house. If a daughter is adopted, it's not just the house she lives in with that family. No, it's her house. That's part of the realities of adoption. So there should be a sense, if you're in Lexington and you're at that building, of, yeah, this is our building. Because that's what adoption means. But as important as that is to you, what's more important to me right now is that you see the revealed word, the revealed things of God as yours, not just something you get to hear. That's what God wants you to see. These belong to us. If you have a workplace and your workplace has a fridge, and you open that fridge and you see a piece of delicious, tempting, perhaps, cheesecake. If you're not a cheesecake person, substitute what you're most into, right? You see that in the fridge. Now, you could admire it as beautiful. There is a beauty in things like this. You can see it as valuable. You can admire it. But if it has your name on it, that changes everything, does it not? If you open it up and it says, "For you, your name." Ah, it's mine. It's not somebody else's cheesecake. That's completely different. Think about God's revealed word like that. The revealed things God taught us through Moses belong to us. If any of us had kids and we give something to our kids, let's say it's our kid's birthday, and we give them a new pair of shoes, brown shoes that are great brown shoes. If the next day your kid says, "Mom, Dad, can I wear these brown shoes?" You say, "Sure, honey, wear those brown shoes." And the next day they say to you, "Hey, can you mind if I use these brown shoes?" "Yes, honey, go ahead, wear the brown shoes." Third day, "Hey, is it okay if I use..." You would start to sense a problem. They like them, that's not the problem. The problem is they don't understand that they're theirs. Like, "Yes, honey, those are your shoes. Please use them. I gave them to you with purpose, with joy. I want you to see them as yours and to use them." Is that not what God has done with His revealed things? Is that not why God spoke? They're yours. Enjoy them. Use them. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. And to our children. You all have things that you want to share with your kids. Things that are precious to you that you would love for them to enjoy as well. We all have things that we want to pass on to our children. There is nothing more valuable to pass on to our kids than the revealed things of God. There's nothing more meaningful to have them have in their lives. Now, when I say these things belong to us and to our children, or as Moses says that, do not think there, "Well, that sounds great, Pastor Todd, but I don't have kids," or, "You know, my kids are already grown, so that was a verse from my past, but not right now." No. Don't think that here in Israel is just these things belong to us and each person their individual biological kids. It's also to us and our children. There's a corporateness as well. We believe that the responsibility for passing on the revealed things of God to kids is primarily that of parents and grandparents. But we also recognize the church family as a family with families. And there's a reason. It's a glorious opportunity to speak through this text and the same service we had a time with a specific family, with a specific girl who was up here that we were praying for. And you all said, "We will pray for this family. We will pray for this child's conversion to Christ. We will do our part." And if I think right now about you all, if I ask you, how did you hear the gospel? How did you discover the Bible? I hope that you have had parents who invested and told you these things, but I know it's not the case that everybody in here did. And I also know that for everybody who says, "Yes, my parents taught me the gospel," it wasn't just your parents. You saw a church family. And there were other people who loved you and cared for you and invested in you, were patient with you, And they showed you the revealed things of God because they understand that the revealed things of God belong to us and to our children. This Wednesday, we have the joyful time of celebrating the end of a school year of Awana. And Awana clubs, if you're not familiar with them, are these clubs in which every Wednesday, kids are here and they're playing games with Mr. Joe and they're having snack time or whatever, but they're also hearing the Bible from people who love them. And it is not the case that all of the kids who are here on Wednesday have parents who teach them these things. We delight that we have kids who are here, who this is their only time in the week when parents or adults and grandparents, just different church members, are investing in them in such a way. But it's also a glorious thing what's happening between the weeks, between the Wednesdays, as kids are trying to learn Bible verses, and it's stirring up conversations between parents and kids, all in God's Word. And they're not just understanding, oh, this is what God's Word says, which that is happening. This is what He says. This is also what it's about. But also they're even storing it up in their hearts. So you can go and you can talk to these kids and say, share me some of the revealed things of God. If they understood what you're saying, share me, do you know any part of the Bible? And they will start speaking truth to you. And we pray that those seeds will grow and develop in their life and that they'll come back into their minds. It's true for all of us that I don't think there's any person in the room that the first time you heard the gospel, that was it, you understood it. No, it's layers. It kind of cycles back in your life and you hear a verse that you've heard before and you hear it more deeply. That's what's going on. And this Wednesday, there's going to be a celebration to motivate the kids and a cookie reception. Actually, all of you are invited. All of you are invited. If you want to come 6 o'clock and see this, you're welcome. Come and see it. But it matters because it's not just our individual children. It's our children. We support the families among us and we seek to invest in kids who don't have parents to tell them the gospel. Same could be said about VBS this summer. What an opportunity. 1 week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every night of the week, there's going to be kids here. Last year, God gave us just right about 100. I think we counted 101, including the little tiny babies. And they're going to be seeing the church in action. They're going to be seeing people love other people in Christ's name. And they're going to be hearing things, specific things, things about Jesus, things about good news, things about forgiveness and rescue and salvation, about Him leading and providing. They're going to be hearing about God's mercies given to us in Jesus. These are the revealed things. And we ask God to please help us to convey these to our children, for us to cherish them because they belong to us, but also to us to pass them on because they belong to our children. The secret things belong to our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law, that we may do. Now you can see on the slide up there that I've included some Romans 12 language there, that we may do His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to remind you, yeah, sure, this was time in the law. God had given the law. New Testament teaches us and reminds us we are not under law. We are under grace. But it's no less true that that is intended for a transformed life. The grace that God gives, not that we may do so that we may be forgiven. No, it's we are forgiven. His mercy is our theme and our story. Grace is our story. And now our life is in response to His good deeds, His good works, His mercies, Him rescuing, Him saving, Him freeing, Him delivering, Him overpowering, Him conquering, Him making everything possible for me to be able to be with Him forever, and for all of the kids who trust in Him to be with Him forever. All of the generations of that great crowd from every tribe and tongue and nation, that we may all enjoy Him forever. But in the meantime, and in the meantime, each day gets to be for Him, that we may do. There's a life, a way of life that we can describe as God's will for us. And it's the best possible life. Best because it's pleasing to Him. Best because it's pleasing. It's not the healthiest, wealthiest, most prosperous in today's sense, perhaps. But it's the best, wisest, most wonderful way. And God's given us instruction. He's given us light. His word is a light unto our path. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. It's okay. It's okay that we don't know it all. It's okay that those are theirs. But the things those are His. But the things that are revealed belong to us. They're still His, but they belong to us. He's given them to us and to our children forever. So church family, embrace them, that we may do all the words of this law. Let's go to our Father together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for speaking. Thank You for speaking and showing and revealing Yourself to us so we can know who You are with specifics, so we can hear the name of Jesus and know what You've done through Him. Thank You for Your steadfast love, mercies that are new every morning over the millennium. Thank You for freeing and rescuing, for speaking and for saving, for making it possible for us to be praying to You right now, calling You Father. Lord, we pray for the children. We pray asking You, Lord, to help us to show them these things. Help us to show them things that we treasure. Help us to treasure Your word. Treasure these things above the things of the world. And help us to pass them on. May we see Your work and give You the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.